Our Mormon and Muslim brethren forbid the consumption of alcohol. One might debate whether that is a wise theological imperative. Our tradition, of course, does not, but it was not unaware of the dangers of consumption of intoxicating substances. Of course, we know from Genesis that Noah, his fall from grace was planting a vineyard and becoming drunk with his family. And our Midrash has more to say on this subject. What's interesting about that scene, of course, is that in order to become drunk in Noah's time, not only it was an act of premeditation, you had to plant the vineyard and wait months and months and distill and process, stomp on the grapes. So our Midrash imagines Noah taking to planting, and the Satan, the heavenly adversary, came out and observed things. Oh, Noah, what are you doing? And he says, I'm planting a vineyard. And Satan says to him, well, what's that about? What's the nature of a vineyard? And Noah says, well, the fruits are sweet, whether they're moist or dry, and one makes from them wine, and it makes joy to your heart. And Satan says to Noah, oh, could I join you? And we'll plant together? And Noah says, sure. And one might assume in the story that it was while Noah was unawares or not looking, that the Satan brought a lamb and slaughtered it over the vine, and brought a lion and slaughtered it over those primordial vines, and brought out a monkey and slaughtered it, and brought out a pig and slaughtered it over the vines, and somehow the vines continued to grow. And then Noah would consume. And what it says is that when a person drinks the first cup, you're sweet, meek, like a lamb. And when you drink the second cup, you become full of yourself, a little inflated, strong and proud, like a lion. And when you have a few more cups, you become like a monkey, and you start dancing, and you start singing, and you start doing things you might regret. And when you have more cups, you become like a pig, and you wallow in your own filth. That's certainly true of consumption and imbibement, we know. And as we go further in my talk, I want to expand our conception of what addiction is, what compulsion is, what obsession and obsessive thoughts really are. They're not just for the drunk in the street. We may think ourselves safe because we can have one shot of tequila, we can sip scotch, we can have a glass of wine with dinner, and that is not our compulsion. But I want you to start opening your mind a little now to think about the ways in which you, for lack of a better word, misbehave, that you have obsessive thoughts and compulsive behaviors that prevent you from becoming your best self, that prevent you from becoming, as I discussed on Rosh Hashanah, a leader, that prevent you from taking accountability, that prevent you, as I talked about on Kol Nidre, from being authentic. The places where your behaviors don't contribute to your spiritual awakening, so to speak. So Russell Brand, the British comedian and actor, talks about his long-term addiction to heroin and his years, actually decades, of sobriety. And this, I think, he wrote shortly after Amy Winehouse died. He said, I think, in The Guardian, it's been 10 years since I used drugs or drank alcohol, and my life has immeasurably improved. I have a job, a house, a cat, good friendships, a generally bright outlook. The last time I thought about taking heroin was yesterday. The gutter will not release its prey. The gutter, says Brand, is within. That's us. That's all of us. That's every single human being from Noah to our time, created with a hole, created with an absence, created with pain and trauma and difficulty from youth through old age. And we struggle with those things, and sometimes we cope with them in good ways. Maybe you go to the gym, Maybe you read a book, maybe you meditate, maybe you reach out to friends. But at least as often as not, we cope with them in really poor ways, with bad decisions.